and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, he's Addy.
Indeed, I am.
Which would make me...
stupid.
That's not what makes me stupid.
Oh, no, no.
I'm Mo.
It's the syphilis.
Let's go, let's talk some Over the Limit.
Oh,
so we get this out of the way.
Over the Limit. I am over my limit of Over the Limit, I do believe. In the books.
In the books, thank God.
Thank you. You don't have to thank me.
No?
No.
We fought this.
We did. We were one of the eight people that bought this.
Oh.
Shit. You're welcome, people. You're welcome.
All right, let's get on with it. It opened with...
the YouTube show.
Yeah, which I missed.
Which you missed. Zack Ryder and Kane. Kane wins in a competitive match. More competitive than would have thought, anyway.
You watched that with 40,000 other people.
It got up to about 40. They actually have a little thing on the YouTube that says how many people are currently on, and it got up to, yeah, about 42,000 people, I believe. Maybe 47,000, actually, there. So, you know, that's, I don't know what that is in the ratings.
Plus the 9,000 in the arena.
Plus the 9,000.
56,000
people saw this. And then they started to announce the jobbers, or the Battle Royal participants.
Now, what's this about a Battle Royal? Because I don't remember this being on SmackDown or Raw.
Well, no, they texted it through their texting service this afternoon that there is a People Power Battle Royal that was the brainchild storyline idea of David Otunga and Eve.
Oh.
While they were in charge.
Way to promote.
Yes.
So, in other words, what, 200 people found out about this?
200 people found out about it.
And
which,
one of them bought? No, not that many.
No, not even. Essentially, well, you know what, 48,000 people saw the entrances, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, they knew, 48,000 people at least knew, or three times TNA's audience on
pay-per-view. That's true.
So, but, I mean, it's guys, you know, it's the Rapist, Heath Slater, it's Ezekiel Jackson, it's...
I thought it was going to be Ben Rothwell there, or Ben...
Roethlisberger?
Roethlisberger. Ben Rothwell has not raped anybody that I know of.
That you know of? Is he right there on my wall?
Ben Roethlisberger. My mistake. That's the Rapist.
That's the Rapist, yes. They're so
easy to
confuse.
I remember how you would always sit there and text me because he was your fantasy football quarterback.
Yes.
And he'd throw a pick and he'd be like... fucking, you should never play Rapist in fantasy football.
No.
And then he'd like throw a touchdown and run for another. He sent me a text. I fucking love Rapist in fantasy football.
It's true. He'd text me on a Sunday. Who are you starting? I'd be like, Chris Johnson, the Rapist, Adrian Peterson. First tangent of the evening. But you had your Jinder Mahals and your Titus, your Yoshitatsu, your Tyson Kidds, and JTG coming out.
So you had the tag team of Jinder Mahal in there?
You did.
You said Heath Slater and Jinder.
Oh, great Kali, first person in there. And then William Regal gets announced to a pop. And a chant of Regal, Regal, Regal.
People like anybody who's been around for a long time who... they know is good and being underutilized, people gravitate towards those guys.
And he's wearing the paunch hugger now, the full singlet deal.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so, and then Christian comes out last to the bigger pop, the return pop, right? He was a heel when they left. So, and essentially played a babyface the whole time without, you know, even turning. He just played the baby face. So some of the highlights...
It got down to him versus Miz and Otunga. Well,
that's right.
They're going to cheer for Christian, right?
Exactly. That was what the spot to put him in the baby face spot, the two down 2-on-1.
Yeah.
Really the only couple notables, but nothing too major. Titus and Darren Young eliminated the great Kali themselves. They took out Kali, the two of them, so that was a big spot for them, taking out the big guy. And Tyson Kidd was the fourth last person in this. But I got to tell you, this shit was going on. All of a sudden, music played, and I'd be like, who is this? I don't recognize this music. Oh, it's Michael McGillicuddy.
Oh.
Whose music is this? Oh, it's Hawkins and Rex.
Yeah.
You know, I could guess Yoshitatsu's music. But
well, anytime you do see Yoshitatsu, he's already in the ring.
Yes, exactly. He was on SmackDown on Friday,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's Sandow.
Exactly.
But anyway, then the weirdest, then they did something a little different. The pay-per-view comes on the air, and they've got the warning, you know, don't, no reproducing of this or whatever, blah, 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 a warning on there. And you can hear the match going on in the background as that video is up. And then the video fades out, and they're in the middle of the battle, or started the battle royal in progress, not the middle of it, but in progress. And, you know, they said, you know, oh, we're just joining this battle royal in progress. And the winner of the battle royal got to either face Cody or Santino.
So if you weren't watching YouTube, you had no idea. You were like, what the fuck did I miss? I paid $55 and I missed some of the action.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, I mean, but I think what they're doing is they're trying to promote the YouTube thing, right?
Yeah. Well, that's stupid.
It is. It really is. So, you know, go to YouTube, where we get no additional money, because you don't want to miss that.
Well, they are getting paid by YouTube.
Yeah, but they don't. But they get paid by YouTube whether 78,000 people or 47,000 people watch,
absolutely.
Right? So, but if those other 30,000 people buy the pay-per-view, then they're getting an extra whatever they're getting, $15 a pay-per-view from.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
I mean, it's
yeah.
Fucking idiots. But this is wrestling in 2012, which apparently is not about making money.
Yeah, or wrestling.
Or wrestling. So, but anyway, so then Christian wins and points over at Santino.
Yeah.
And so then the announcers, of course, just assume that he's going to be going after the U.S.
So as soon as I showed up, you said, that match was, because you texted me that it was on. And I'm driving, actually I stopped to pick up cheeseburger burgers.
Yes.
And beer.
And beer. Which come in handy.
Both came in
both
handy.
Both came in handy,
the
actually,
yeah. And so I'm sitting there, and I walked in the door, and I see it's the next match, which is the tag team title match.
Right.
What is it?
Jimmy.
Air Jimmy, Kofi Kingston, and Arthur versus
yeah.
Jack Swagger.
And Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler, okay. So I'm like, wait, Battle Royal's all over already? Because it's like 6:16 at this point.
Yeah, that's right.
You're like, yeah. First thing he said to me was, Christian won. He pointed at Santino, so I assume it'll be a swerve, and he's going to face Cody.
Cody, yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm up to date. Let's watch to do that.
Let's continue, yes.
And then we turned on the mic, so we could do live audio commentary during it.
Yes, we did. So we haven't listened to it. So
we'll see if it's worth putting up.
We would something we'll try. So yeah, we might put it up later in the week if the quality's any good there. So, but yeah, so then that did bring us. Yeah, it was Dolph and. Ziggler against R-Truth and Kofi Kingston. Champions retain. You know, just your... It was a good... It got going all right at the end there with the hot tag to Kofi. But it was your typical WWE tag
team
match.
It was the WWE. The heels get a long, long heat spot on the baby faces. The baby faces make the baby faces start off strong. Long heat spot for the heels.
Yeah.
Baby faces make the hot tag, the quick comeback, back and forth, and then either side can win. You've seen it a million and one times. It's okay. It's a good match.
There's nothing wrong with it. It was just it was.
It is just it's typical. It's what we've seen a million times. But yeah, it's okay.
It was.
And
yeah.
Of course, Air Jimmy retained, to no surprise, and that was.
Well, I don't know about no surprise. I mean, it's...
Too soon after them hitting the belt, so I mean, I don't think there's any surprise there.
No, I would have, yeah. I mean, if I'm picking, I would have picked, yeah, the Kofi and Truth, but it wouldn't have... I mean, if they did switch it, it wouldn't have been the shocker of all shockers to me either.
So then you had Eve Torres with Tyler Rex, and I said, who's that? And he said, that's Eve Torres. And I went, oh.
Yes.
Because she has glasses on now, so I don't recognize her.
That's right.
Smart.
That's right. She is a smart person.
Yes.
But, yes, and then Rex and Hawkins' job, they were wearing People Power T-shirts, and they were going to take away any negative Laurinaitis signs. That was their job, was to go through the crowd and take away Laurinaitis, anti-Laurinaitis signs, or Uncle Laurinaitis signs.
Later in the pay-per-view, they had a little bit where they were running through the crowd, taking away signs.
That's right,
of you know, a bunch of plants with signs. Because there's like guys in their mid-20s holding out signs saying
for John Cena. Yeah, and you know that there's
no guys in their mid-20s who have signs. Nevertheless, no guys in their mid-20s who are cheering for John Cena. Nevertheless, a fucking sign.
Well, I just don't think that there's that many outed gay people in North Carolina.
Yeah, apparently not. Yeah.
But the next match. You want to say something?
They seem to have all their mental capabilities, so they did not seem to be true to being offensive.
So they were from out of town.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, and they also knew how to write. Another evidence that they're from North Carolina.
Well, we didn't watch it. We could have had their mothers do it.
That's true.
So, and Cena was spelled with an I. But anyway.
That's stupid.
Cena.
But whatever. It's their gimmick now.
It is. I don't know. For one night, anyway. Who knows? I mean, it's good for them. It gets Tyler Rex and Curt Hawkins on the pay-per-view, where normally they wouldn't. So, I mean, good for them. Layla and Beth Phoenix for the Divas title.
You were cooking burgers.
I was cooking burgers for this. So how was this match?
The psychology was really, really strong that Beth was working the leg of Layla, mm-hmm. who had just come back from a knee injury.
The leg of Layla.
Yeah, no kidding. She looked amazing.
Yeah, I do too.
But, what's that?
I said, yeah, I do too.
Oh, okay. You do have a nice set of legs.
I do. Gams, as it were.
Gams. You got a nice set of gams. What is the, wait a second here. Somebody sent us a question?
No. This is my last tweet.
Oh. I'm not reading that. You want to read that.
Well, one of the trending topics about 2 hours ago was things people ask Africans. So I said, do you like Kofi and Truth? Hashtag things people ask Africans.
I can't believe I do a show with this guy.
Oh, tremendous.
So anyways, the psychology of Beth working the leg of the person who just came back from an injury was good. The offense and the execution of the offense.
Excellent execution?
Terribly executed. That was the problem. The psychology of the match was strong. They tried hard, but the offense just did not look good as a general rule.
Yeah.
Both of them would occasionally have offense that just didn't look... They looked either set up or just not realistic or sloppy or whatever.
As soon as they got some momentum and did some stuff, then...
Yeah, they'd have a couple good moments and they start to build some psychology, and then they'd have a bad spot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it just kind of kept like this. But Layla somehow retained... I don't even remember.
I saw that. It was just... it was a glam slam, and she just rolled it into one of those front-rolling cradles.
Oh.
So,
really obvious to stay with me. So,
yes.
I don't know. This is about as good as we're going to get for a Divas match, too. So,
no, it was a neck breaker. She just used a neck breaker.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway. The Fatal 4-Way comes. Sheamus Orton does an interview, a really horrible interview.
Yeah, burying Sheamus.
Yeah, well, and but even though we talk about execution in the last match, the execution of this promo. This was a poorly delivered promo.
Sure it was.
And,
he didn't give a shit.
No.
And Jericho came in and was a smarmy little self. And,
yeah.
And then they started the match.
And then, the match,
and we said Sheamus was going to win and
Jericho
was there
to
take the pin.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Really, scary spot when Del Rio, to break up a pinning attempt.
Yeah.
He was trying to do like a double stomp and
a double leg stomp on
Jericho
on Orton
or right? Orton right?
But Orton was supposed to roll out of the way, so he did. So now he came down, but instead of coming down on Jericho's chest or something, he came down right in his fucking face.
Right on his face, right before the finish, and yeah, that looked like it was not fun.
No,
but the match again, good match. A lot of good, you know, some near falls there.
Exactly what we expected it to be. And the pay-per-view at this point is exactly what we expected it to be.
Yeah, the good was
pretty
good.
Pretty good
match,
pretty good, all right, you know, whatever. As good as you're getting it from the Divas, pretty good tag match, pretty good world title match.
Yeah.
You know, nothing that you're going, you can't miss this, but good stuff.
Good stuff, exactly. You know. And next, we talked about the swerve earlier, And this is the spot where they do the Eve talking to Cody backstage, and Christian over, if Cody says, oh, it's a good thing he didn't pick me, because I would have, you know, humiliated Christian.
Yeah, he's going to be a great champion. He's going to bring some legitimacy to that U.S.
title,
just like I have for the Intercontinental title. But, you know, he's just coming back from injury, so it's smart that he's not picking me, because I would have embarrassed him.
Yeah.
And Christian overhears this.
He goes, oh, yeah, and then he changed my mind, and so now that the babyface turn is really complete.
Yeah.
Here. So The Miz.
Which unfortunately won't give me my Christian versus Punk match, but.
No, not yet.
No.
But, Miz comes out.
Yeah, and you said, what the fuck is Miz doing?
He already lost
the Battle Royal.
That's right.
And he came out and did the worst thing I've ever seen.
The dance.
Tell everybody what he did.
We come out, and it was like he was trying to do his Grandmaster Sexay impression.
Well, yeah, his idea was, oh, I'm going to teach you,
I'm the best dancer.
I'm even a better dancer than Brodus. And he ran down Brodus Clay, and then he did this dance. He did, like, the Frankenstein thing, and, like, a bunch of, like, old 80s, 60s,
He did 70s. The Michael Jackson. He wore that hat, the old hat that he used to wear when he was with...
Yeah, he did the Michael Jackson stuff and some Frankenstein stuff and whatever. Dance moves out of, like, the 80s and 70s and 60s.
Stupid.
Trying to be funny and entertaining.
And then Brodus.
But it wasn't. It was just stupid and lame at first, and I'm like, this... And he doesn't...
No, I know. To his music. And then Brodus comes
out. And Brodus comes out, they start Brodus' music.
And they don't stop Miz's music.
And I'm like, this is...
Yeah. Don't stop the music! Don't stop the music!
Jesus.
Fucking Bucky Beaver.
Talking about Kevin Dunn, the director for WWE.
Fuck. But, awful. I mean, Splash. Miz jobs again.
Yeah.
To Brodus. Who they just need to pull the plug on this fucking Brodus.
Yeah, and by the way, after the dance, a little bit of reaction to the dancing and the entrance, a little bit. Not much, mm-hmm. but more than what you got during the actual match, even during the pin. This is not over. He brings the crowd, or the kids up. The kids look like they don't know how to dance, and they start doing some dance. And you know what? Adult males are not going to look at somebody dancing with the kids and think, fuck, I'm going to cheer for that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the whole thing, it's a failure. Like I said, it's time to pull the plug on Brodus. Good job trying something else. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
Didn't work out because the gimmick probably is too dated for this era. And also the guy can't work.
Well, the guy can't work is really what it is. I mean, if the guy could work and you could move him up the card, then you've got a gimmick that could work.
If he had great charisma, it'd still be working. He does have great charisma.
Rikishi worked.
He had more charisma and could work.
And I mean, Rikishi had been working for 20 years, by the time this had, by the time he got
there. And he had more charisma, too.
Well, he did, yeah, that's right. But, he just doesn't, it's not clicking.
No.
It was a neat little short-term gimmick.
It was good for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, and then they took him off the TV for a while, right?
Yeah.
And
put him back at Mania, and it hasn't worked since.
Yeah, exactly. So, like many things.
Yeah, no. No, nobody that introduced after Mania has gotten over yet. Ryback is somebody else who showed up later.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. Cody.
What happened?
Well, Splash, Brodus wins, Miz jobs again, as I said. So, next talking, Cody Rhodes and Christian.
Decent.
Christian wins the Intercontinental title.
That's the only real pop, though. The crowd wasn't really into this except for when Christian came out.
Well,
Cody cut a nice little promo basically saying that he could have lived in North Carolina. His dad told him, you don't want to live there. And he's like, now I see why.
Well, he was saying, no, my dad used to wrestle here all the time, and he never brought me here. And I asked him why.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, one day you'll know. And, yeah, now I know.
Yeah.
So
it was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
But yeah, the crowd wasn't too into it. But
They liked the title change. I don't know that the crowd really figured out that Christian was the babyface.
They did.
Well, a little bit, but
they saw the video package too. He was getting some cheers during that.
I think they just kind of took it as we like Christian more than Cody, but we still aren't really sold on either one of these guys yet. So it's that sort of thing. But then then he won the title and got a pop, so that was good. Then
they came the highlight of the night.
Your highlight, yes.
Explain this.
Well, it was a CM Punk.
Go ahead and take your drink of water.
Promo.
I will fill the air while you're taking your drink of water by teasing what Addy is about to do will be awesome.
The CM Punk promo. And Punk, you know, they talked about how we know Brian for years and yada yada, and then he said a couple of years ago, if you had told Vince McMahon that CM Punk and Daniel Bryan would headline one of his WWE pay-per-views, he would have said, "Who the hell is Daniel Bryan? And who the hell is CM Punk?"
Exactly. And then his head would have exploded.
And then, yes, and then his head would have exploded. But so tonight, this is not going to be the five-star class. It's not just going to be the five-star classic. And then AJ come out and wish Punk good luck and look like she was having a crush on Punk, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And Punk looked like he wanted nothing to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, that's okay. We were worried she would show up. We didn't think she would because we were expecting somebody to show up in the main event.
Yes.
We didn't think they would do this two times in a row because this was the semi-main. Well, there was a buffer match.
There
was a piss match. But, yeah, I mean, so CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan.
Maybe a piss test match.
Yeah, it should be.
Yes.
Well, he's obviously passing, but we'll get there.
Yeah. What steroid is Ryback using?
Well, we'll get there
too.
CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
It was a tremendous match. It was probably, I think, what the crowd was into the most.
Yes.
If this had been in front of a really big crowd instead of like 8,000-9,000 like this event had.
Right.
But a really big crowd who was really, really well mic'd, this would have probably been match of the year. As it is, this is a match with the only thing this crowd was really into, dueling chance, more into this than anything else, even Cena. That said, it still was a crowd that wasn't really a hot crowd.
No.
Or a big crowd. And so because of that, it didn't come across, it still came across like a match on a B show.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a terrific match on a B show, though. Probably 4.25 stars, though. I mean, I think it was really, really good.
Yeah, it was very good. A couple highlights to me, that surfboard spot by Daniel Bryan on
Into the dragon sweeper. Yeah, that was awesome. It really looked like he probably could have broken his back doing it.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
You know, the finish was basically, he goes for the S-lock. Bryan goes for the S-lock, cradled back, so Punk rolls back. Bryan's shoulders are on the mat, so the ref counts 1, 2, 3, and at 4, CM Punk taps.
Yeah.
So Bryan thinks that he's won the title. Only thing really wrong, or my nitpick with this finish, is if you do a finish like that, to me, they 1, 2, 3, ring the bell, Cult of Personality immediately played.
Yeah.
They should have paused there for a second.
Yeah.
Because Bryan thought he won, but then Punk's music, like, 1, 2, 3, ding, 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 a music played. They should have had, like, a couple second, like, a pause
there.
Yeah,
like, who got the win here?
Well, just a pause for Bryan's sake.
Yeah.
So then he can play as I won, and then Punk's music plays, and he goes, what? So, don't know if this is sort of, if they're going to play on the story, but Bryan did, they kept showing him, and all he kept saying was, no, no, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, as opposed to yes.
Right? Exactly.
So, but Punk retains, great match, and there's...
probably went about 35 minutes, you think?
I think so, something like that. But there's rematch possibilities here.
Well, that's the thing, is it was so close. And Cole afterwards is sitting there going, if Punk is the best in the world, then I think Daniel Bryan proves he's best in the world 1A.
He's a 1A, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And he kind of had this, okay, you know what? The guy won, but so close.
Yeah, exactly.
Barely. Could have gone the other way. Yeah. That
1 second. You beat me by 1 second, and that's very hard for a man of my intelligence to handle.
Exactly.
Says Apollo Creed to Rocky Balboa.
Exactly.
But, I could see rematches here.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's,
and that's where AJ and that's where AJ will play into.
And to quote,
they set that up now. AJ having the crush on Punk and blah blah blah.
And to quote our good friend DDP, that's not a bad thing. That's
a good thing.
A good thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So, speaking of bad things,
Yeah,
Ryback.
Yeah, he sucks.
Is against Camacho. Or as Lillian Garcia announced, Hunico.
Yeah.
Accompanied by Camacho.
Yeah.
anyway, it...
the thing about
in a match, is, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Ryback destroys him. One of the things about this is Camacho is not that much smaller. You really want that smaller guy like Hunico who can bump for him. I imagine they didn't want Hunico being destroyed by Ryback because Hunico's going to have that first match against Sin Cara, and they don't want him looking like a jobber when Sin Cara beats him to put Sin Cara over because Sin Cara is back at a house show
last night.
So I think that's why it isn't Hunico, and it could have been I don't know, Camacho or whatever. It was Camacho. Who was it that accompanied him?
Hunico.
Hunico. But isn't there a third guy?
No.
No?
There's somebody named Epico.
Ah.
And Primo.
And Primo? Maybe that's why I'm getting
Camacho.
Confused. Well, either way, I think that's the problem here, is that Camacho looks almost as big as Ryback. But Ryback comes in, has his music, shaking his head a little bit to it, you know, doing the Goldberg mannerisms, doing all the his offense.
Yeah.
Power offense, looks a little sloppy, but keeps doing it. Goldberg chants just slightly.
Yeah, there were
Goldberg
chants.
Nobody pops. Nobody pops when he wins. He's also, the crowd went mild for him as well.
It did, yeah.
Again, I'm not sure who's least over, him or Brodus, but I'd probably go him.
I would say him just because Brodus does have the music.
Yeah,
and so that gets a reaction there, right? So,
It's really he's not working. He's not working.
No one. It's I mean that's the sad state of affairs.
Yeah.
With these new guys, main event time.
I think Damian Sandow is kind of working a little bit because at least he's different.
Yes, and actually, and I thought he cut a great promo again.
Yeah.
Walking to the ring. It's not reading cue cards. It's walking to the ring, right?
Exactly.
So it shows that he's able to kind of continue that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There. So, Damian Sandow, did you happen to see SmackDown?
I saw parts of it. I didn't see Damian Sandow this week. I saw bits of it.
He come down and he said that he was going to not wrestle Yoshitatsu again because it's underneath him, and Tatsu called him chicken. And then started literally going bah, 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 on the microphone. I'm not even joking. And so Sandow, great, he's standing in the aisleway and he goes, "What did you say to me?" And then Tatsu had his back turned and Sandow takes off his robe and his towel, runs down and attacks
Yoshi.
Damian Sandow, now you see him, you always see him in the blue robe.
Yeah.
And the white towel. Underneath the blue robe and the white towel, he has Rick the Model Martel's tights.
Awesome.
And boots. Like, everything is the purple boots, the pink tights, and the knee pads.
Excellent.
It's almost identical to Rick Martel.
That's excellent.
It was awesome. And I was not expecting that, because I was expecting plain Jane tights,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, it was tremendous, so... anyway, that's Damian Sandow.
That's Damian Sandow. The main event on SmackDown.
I'd rather talk about Damian Sandow, to be quite honest.
The main event on SmackDown, also really, really good, that match between Sheamus and Orton, because there wasn't any prolonged heat spots. What was good, it felt like a real fight, because it was back and forth.
Yeah.
Very even the whole way.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about that one.
That's what I like about that.
Yeah. Booker tonight, any Booker highlights you want to give?
When in the Battle Royal, when it's Otunga and Miz and they're teaming up on Christian to get him out, and Booker's like, "I don't know why they would do that," and Michael Cole's like, "Cause that's how you win a battle royal." And he had like no comeback. He's like, "You've never been in there, Cole. Whatever. You never been in one of these things or something." And Cole just said, "I lasted longer in the Royal Rumble than you did." And anyway, it was, but just the way he's like, "I don't know why you'd want to do that."
Yeah.
That was my highlight, I think.
There were some good bits. There were some good Bookerisms tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Cole, in talking about John Laurinaitis and John Cena, part of one of the greatest tag teams of all time, the dynamic dudes.
Yeah, and both both King and Booker just
killing themselves.
Yeah, they're just trying not to laugh on camera because it was cut to them, and they're just they had no. Like, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, well, that's just it, right? So
let's talk about this main event.
Well, it was what we expected, right? It was
exactly what you expected.
The match itself was horrible.
You called it the worst main event in WWE. Well, you said it first in history, and I went, there's got to be something
worse. Well, you were saying Heroes of Wrestling and such, but yeah. I think it's the worst main event in WWE pay-per-view history. It's got to be.
And you said you're not sure that there's any worse pay-per-view main event in WCW or NWA or even TNA. And I was trying to think of them. I mean, like I say, the one that comes to mind for me is the Hulk Hogan versus Roddy Piper in WCW,
mm-hmm.
With the world title match that wasn't.
Yes, yeah, the sleep roll finish. Yeah, exactly, the world title that wasn't a world title. That stupid triple cage with David Arquette, DDP,
yeah.
and Jarrett was when Canyon went off the stage there. That was awful.
Yeah,
you know,
I can think some other. Like I say,
there's been some, but I said this to me.
Yokozuna versus Lex Luger was terrible.
It was. I think this was worse.
This is up there at least. It probably is the worst main event ever. But I mean, it did what it was supposed to do. Would tell the story of Big Show's turn. Really, that's what it was about.
Laurinaitis comes out.
Let's go back to Raw. Talk a little bit. Give everybody the story of what led up to this Big Show.
Fired Big Show.
Thing.
He made Big Show beg for his job on his knees just to prove that he was a dick and that he could, and then he fired the Big Show, right?
Yeah. Laurinaitis fired the Big Show, and then he found out afterwards that the WWF board of directors had said that he can't make any special referees, he can't make anybody interfere in the match, he can't make anything because anybody who does anything will be immediately fired. Well, Big Show had already been fired by him.
That's right. So, there was no count out, no disqualification. He couldn't, be one-on-one. No one, anybody that interfered would be fired. So, of course, the Big Show already fired, so that plays into the story.
And we were trying to talk about how everybody seemed to see this coming. The only other guy we could think of that could show up, a guy who's quit and is not with the company, was Brock Lesnar, but that didn't make any sense either, because they just don't seem to be going that direction. So, and of course, there was no Heyman. There was no Big Show. There was no Triple H tonight, and I didn't expect any of them.
Right. Big Show. Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar, yeah.
Big Show, as I said, it's what we thought should happen. It's what we thought would happen, and it should happen. That was the...
Well, yes and no. I mean, I suppose.
I mean,
but,
was,
I mean, I don't, Big Show against Cena, I've seen two prolonged feuds earlier between these two. And neither of them was particularly good, even though I guess the last one was, 2006?
Oh, God. That would have been the bad one. Yeah, it would have been when it was him and Edge, right? Edge, Show, and Cena. And then was there not that – did Show not put Cena through that that spotlight?
That was 2006 or was it 2007?
Six or seven,
it's several years ago.
And yet,
I'm still looking at it going, I don't want to see it.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's just one of those things where it's like if you have – if you have guys face each other once or twice on pay-per-view, and you come back years later, that's fine. But if you have them face each other like 6 months in a row,
mm-hmm.
plus television interaction, it's just done forever.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where Cena's gotten with a few opponents, like Orton. And that's certainly where he is with Big Show to me. And I don't want to see another,
I'm at the point, as I said, I'm at the point where I could see an Orton, one Orton-Cena match.
I couldn't.
But Big Show, I don't know what it is. It seems
their matches aren't particularly good.
But it seems like, I know you said it's two prolonged feuds with the Big Show. To me, it seems like five.
Yeah.
It seems like he's feuded. This will be the third time he's feuded. When, as I said, it seems like this will be let's say five or six times that he's feuded with the Big Show. Now, I mean, what the U.S. title?
I gotta say this, because we're talking about Orton, because Jericho took the pin.
Right, yes.
Right after the match, they cut to Orton, who had been busted open the hard way. Not much, but a little bit on his nose.
Yeah.
They cut to an extended shot of him looking at Sheamus with pure hate, which makes me think they're setting up Sheamus versus Orton.
Mm-hmm.
And are they turning one or both of them? If anybody, it looks like Orton would be the one to turn. I don't think you have to turn that character. I think he could just behave the way he behaves.
Exactly.
But that, they definitely look like they're going in the direction of Sheamus versus Orton. So.
Yeah. So,
But yeah, I mean, back to Big Show. I mean, the match itself was terrible. Was a bunch of spots like you expected. It was more like a.
It was comedy.
It was a Bugs Bunny Roadrunner cartoon. A lot of Roadrunner spots, like Cena pouring water on him, Cena hitting
the ring bell right by his ears.
Cena spraying him with or putting him in the SDF, counting for 10 seconds to see if he'd quit, then putting him back into it again.
The commentary goes on the Spanish commentary thing, and that was actually the funny spot.
Yeah, that was funny because he goes in and we had been making fun of about Booker and Bookerisms all night.
Yeah,
and Cena goes, "Okay, you be Michael Cole and I'll be Booker T." And then he says something about Booker. You know, that's what I like about that.
Yeah,
he goes like that, and he goes, "Okay, wait, no, wait, you sound more like Booker, so you be Booker and I'll be Michael Cole." And he goes, "Gee, what do you think, Booker?" And then Laurinaitis goes,
Five times, whatever he said.
Yeah, he says five. Like, Laurinaitis says five. And that was kind of funny.
That was funny.
Because you didn't think he was going to say anything, right? And then he says, so, but even then, it's funny, but it's stupid. And then there was also the spot with the fire extinguisher. Like, he sprays him just a touch.
Yes.
And then he just sprays him and keeps spraying him. And like you said, it's like a Roadrunner cartoon. It's Bugs Bunny. It's Wile E. Coyote. It's
fucking retarded.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in Toontown here.
Yeah, and, it was awful.
Yeah, no, it's a terrible main event. But then finally, Laurinaitis got a little bit of offense in on that injured elbow.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of running away. He gets out of the arena. He looks like he's run away. Cena's like, well, there's no countouts. There's no nothing.
Yeah,
and yet he's too far away for me to chase him.
Yes.
So he's just sitting in the ring like, what am I supposed to do now? And then Big Show comes out with Laurinaitis. Throws Laurinaitis in the ring.
Brings him back, yeah.
Yeah, in his gray pants and yellow shirt.
Yeah, what the fuck?
And, you know,
I don't think my grandpa would wear that.
No. Teases giving him the choke sign. Instead, throws him to Cena. Cena lifts him up for the
attitude adjustment.
Which, earlier in the night, when he had the chance to do it, instead he gave him an airplane spin cartoon.
Yes.
As he goes to do it, he takes the knockout punch, the weapon of mass destruction,
yes,
or whatever it's called there.
Yeah, WMD there.
And pin, 1, 2, 3, Big Show's turned heel. Laurinaitis is still GM. And I don't want to see it. I don't want to see Big Show versus Cena because I've seen it. It's not particularly good. I don't think they need another bad guy. Big Show, I can see how they think he has filled the spot by Mark Henry.
Yeah.
Maybe this would have been Mark Henry's spot if he hadn't gotten hurt. Would not have surprised me. Or like
I
say,
think
Tenzai,
it was
going
to be Tenzai, but Tenzai didn't get
he's
over.
Not over. He's not over, and he isn't.
No.
But, I mean, Mark Henry, he's hurt so bad that I don't think we're going to see Mark Henry again.
Well, he's having surgery, right? Or he's had surgery?
Yeah.
So
I think he's done.
Yeah.
I think he's done. I have a sneaking suspicion he's done. So, I mean, they decided to turn him, like I say, though. You still have way more heels than faces, but whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's... But
I don't know where they go from here tomorrow night. It doesn't look like... You said that the problem was that Big Show didn't sell.
He just didn't look, like you said, a reluctant, but I don't think that he even looked reluctant. He didn't really look anything. He just hit Cena and didn't, like, he should have hit Cena and looked mad, right? And then you could tell he's a heel. But he didn't. He just was there.
Yeah, so the idea is, hey, I did this for you, now you'll hire me back. But, you know, the fans are going to feel sorry for him or not. The idea should be, hey, yeah, you and I conspired the whole time.
Exactly, yes.
I have a heel, I'm a douche, and you're a douche. And
you don't think I have friends on the board of directors that told me what that was, you know, before
exactly.
got me tipped off, so we conjured this whole thing up. Now,
that's what it should be.
And then you suspend the disbelief that the board of directors, you know, don't catch wind of this and fire him anyway, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you tricked me. Oh, good. You know, but yeah, I mean, yeah, it's one of those.
So it's kind of like tomorrow night. What do you see? You see John Cena come out there and say, "I understand why you did this, but that doesn't mean I'm still not pissed off about it."
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I'm already. What are you doing tomorrow night on Raw? I don't know. I know I don't care. This didn't make me care about tomorrow night on Raw.
No, I definitely don't care about tomorrow night on Raw.
What am I looking forward to tomorrow night on Raw? More Paul Heyman.
Well, I was going to say, Heyman is what is driving the show for me, those points. So, but nothing to do with Laurinaitis, nothing to do with Cena. It's just, I could not care less.
No, no.
So that was the pay-per-view.
That was the pay-per-view.
What did you say? I give it 5 out of 10.
And I'm going to give it... If they reverse the order of this, where the last match is Punk versus Bryan, which is what they should have done...
So they go off the air with the Battle Royal?
No.
In the middle
no,
of the Battle
Royal?
Oh,
matches.
I see.
They just reverse the spots of the Big Show and Laurinaitis and Cena thing with Bryan and I'd probably give this a 7 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a 6 out of 10.
Right.
I'll give it a 6 out of 10. Maybe a 5.5 out of 10. Not very good, but yeah, I mean, that's what they should have done. There's no reason to not go off with that because you've gone off with, you're not making the crowd happy and you're not going off with a great match. So, but it's fucking John Cena and he always has to be the main event.
Well, that's right, and you know, it's, I don't know, that was just the garbage main event that really brought it down. I might have, yeah, gone 6, but it brought it down to a 5 for me, so,
yeah.
But yeah, that was the pay-per-view, so,
there were three things that were really bad, Ryback, Brodus Clay, and the main event. There's a lot of things that were okay. The three-way match.
The tag match.
The tag match.
The four-way.
Christian. Yeah, exactly. Christian versus the...
Cody.
Cody. And then there was one thing that was terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So, no, yeah. But that's no more really to say.
The stuff that was terrific was... There was more of it, more minutes of it.
Oh, without the Daniel Bryan Punk match. Like, if Punk had fought anybody else.
Yeah.
Kane, or you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, this would have been a 3.
Well, but the thing is, even then, if you look at the main event, that's like 15 minutes. Ryback, like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You got like 2 minutes of Brodus. It's like 20 minutes. Like, really, the shitty stuff that was on this show wasn't very much.
Wasn't long. No, you're right. But
you know?
It was
so
there.
It was more good than bad. But you went off the air with something that was bad.
Yeah. It definitely hurt. So,
yeah.
What
are we going to get to? What are the topics?
Well, I was going to say, that puts the pay-per-view to bed. A few other things happened in this past week here in professional wrestling. Starting in July, Nitro's back.
Yeah. Well, that was your blog.
Holy fuck. Monday Night Raw. We just talked about... A fucking movie. Monday Night Raw is moving to 3 hours. They say permanently in July. Now I say permanently, I mean things can always get cut back. But 3 hours every Monday, starting in July. We just watched a pay-per-view where Miz had to do a dance, and Brodus had to come out, and Ryback, and I didn't forget to mention this thing. On the way before the Ryback match, Hunico cut a promo.
Yep.
Like, this is how we're stretching time.
On to 3 hours on a pay-per-view.
On a pay-per-view. Now, I'm not...
Put in 4 hours more, or 4 hours more a month that to fill.
Yeah, well, I mean, 42 minutes, really, when you think with commercials. But, I mean, in terms of... it's not commercial-free, but you've got, really, 4 other segments now... A week that you've got to produce, and they don't have anybody to be in them.
Well, see, that's where I disagree. We talk about guys like Darren Young and Titus O'Neil.
Hurrah! Hurrah! Hurrah!
And you talk about guys like Primo and Epico.
See,
you talk about guys like Damian Sandow, who's on SmackDown only, never made a Raw appearance.
Right.
If this means, right now what happens is you have a 2-hour show,
uh-huh.
and you have John Cena 2 to 3 times.
Yes.
As a general rule. If it means we're getting John Cena
4 to 5.
4 to 5 times, then fuck off.
That'd be pretty
cool.
That'd be pretty poopy.
If it means that we're going to get these other guys, and they're actually going to get feuds, and they're actually the titles that are going to mean more, because they're actually going to have build-up divisions for them. If it means you're going to fill that air, getting your undercard over that time, then that's fine, because they have a large enough roster.
Oh.
So I have no problem with that if they do it right.
So this is your first week watching wrestling, is it?
But you do know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like if it means more of John Cena just two more times, like five times on a Monday, four times on a Monday, I can't handle that. I can't.
No, well, that's...
But if it means that we're going to see some other guys or some guys that we see rarely, like a Yoshitatsu, get some television time and have his personality to develop and have a feud develop and have a gimmick and everything, then it's okay.
It could mean longer matches as well.
Yeah.
But I just... You know what I mean? It just... The other part
usually of it... Usually 3-hour Raw, though, they do to them, do have longer matches. Because they're... You know? But the thing is, usually when they do a 3-hour Raw... They have to do some sort of gimmick to fill the 3 hours. They can't just do a 3-hour Raw.
IPVR.
They have to do something.
IPVR the 2
like
hours
a Slammies
of Raw.
Or a fucking draft or something.
A draft, a Slammy, a Raw Roulette. I mean, the thing is, I mean, it hasn't happened in a while, but there was a time, I would say maybe 2-3 years ago, where I'd be, Tuesday or Monday night, I'd be texting you. It took me 38 minutes to watch Raw.
Yeah.
Because I'd PVR it and skip through the crap.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Which is almost all of it.
Yeah. And we're getting there again.
Yeah.
Where it's like I can watch Heyman, and then, you know, that's...
That's about it.
That's about it right now.
Yeah.
So, they're going to add an extra hour to this. And it's just... It's too much.
Fucking right it is.
I mean, in any of these WeTalkWrestling.com... Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Monday Nitro. I mean, the experiment lasted a year. You know, 1998, basically. All of 1998, by the winter of 99.
Well, the thing was...
It was back to 2 hours.
It wasn't a bad show, though, because they went to 3 hours. The overexposure of the product was too much, though, because they went to 3 hours. And they also had added a 2 hours on the other day. I don't know if WWE already... I don't know if this gives them more overexposure or less. I understand why they do it from a financial reason point of view. They're probably going to make, what, $3.5 million more a year, something like that?
$15 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much?
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you're going linear, if they're getting $700,000 an episode of Raw, so that's 2 hours. So if everything is equal and they got $350,000 for that times 52 weeks, yeah, it would be we'd be looking at $15 million.
So yeah, that's significant, right? I understand why they do it. I understand why USA would do it. What really scares me is what happens when we have to get that very first ever special 4-hour Raw.
See, I don't understand why USA would do it, to be honest. When they do the 3-hour Raws and they go that hour earlier, you know, that whatever comes in, it's put NCIS or whatever is on instead of it normally. Usually does better than the first hour of Raw.
Yeah, usually the first hour of Raw does like a 2-2, and NCIS does like a 2-4.
Now, I wonder...
The idea, though, is they're thinking, okay, eventually when fans know about this,
yeah,
it's going to be doing that 2-9 to 3 to 3-1 every week.
Yeah.
So that's what they're thinking.
That's a possibility. I mean,
I think it will probably grow to that. I do think it probably will.
I see.
I see it'll probably grow to an 8-2, 8-2, 9. Probably that'll be a Raw rating for 3-hour Raw pretty soon.
Yeah... Well, I mean, again, it starts
in
July.
Which is still higher than a 2-4, right?
The thing is, it starts in July.
Yeah.
And you're going to have all of July, all of August. And
maybe
it'll
give them a when they're going to be going ahead of the Monday Night Football game then, again, the first hour?
No, I think. When does Monday Night Football start? 6? Or 7?
I think it's 6 our time, isn't it? 6:30. I don't know. I don't know. I can't remember the
anyway,
time.
Anyway, it's going to be, but it's still going to go. The Raw is still going to go head to head with Monday Night Football come September. So you're going to have about a month and a half of 3-hour Raws to lead in. So I don't know if that's enough. That might be enough time to build up a viewing habit. But
well, what they're going to be doing is they're going to be making the most important stuff happen in that first hour. And then the last half hour of the last show, right? So your middle hour, there's going to be that hour and a half kind of between hour one and hour two and a half that's kind of be filler.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's going to make people go, oh, I can't miss that shit. I got to turn it early.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Any truth to the rumor that Larry Zbysko, your commentating team for hour two?
Why?
Well, you remember in Nitro, they used to change the commentators every hour?
Oh, fuck, yes. I remember that.
This hour, it's Bobby Heenan and Mike today with Tony Schiavone.
That's
this
right,
hour,
yeah.
it's Dusty, and Tanae, and next one it's Shivani and Zabisco. And,
yeah.
Oh, God. Then they had the fireworks after every hour.
No, you won't be seeing that.
No.
No. But, I mean, it's like I say, it's not... It's bad because... I don't trust that we're not going to just see more of John Cena, and then he's going to be overexposed and it's going to ruin them. I don't think it overexposes WWE. I think it can overexpose certain characters that we're going to see too much of.
See, I don't think the product... I don't think the company can handle it.
Yeah.
That's my...
That's kind of what I'm going...
With the Nitro, is that I don't think that the Gewurtzes of the world can handle writing another hour. And even you think of...
They overwork these fucking guys already. Well, because they make them throw out scripts and changes and...
Yeah, well, of course, but I mean that's. But the other part of it is that, like, they're not really good at what they do.
Well, they don't understand the psychology of wrestling.
No, and
building matches and building fights and all this stuff.
And it's just well, and in 2012 they don't.
No.
And so again, you're adding a third hour when your 2 hours. I mean, we just got a 2.9 for this past Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
And that's really on the heels then of hearing that we get an announcement that they're going to 3 hours. So we're
wasn't this also announced through like John Cena's Twitter or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
like it was
weird.
Yeah, that's really strange. But I think he just leaked it, I guess. But
what also where does all this play into the idea of the WWE Network?
Well, that's the other thing, is that does the first hour then just shift to the network after a while? I mean, who knows? But it...
You know you're going to see a special four-hour Raw 1 week.
We will. Eventually we will,
that
yeah.
will be hell.
You know, remember those on TBS they used to do the WCW pajama parties or whatever they were?
Oh, yeah.
The all-nighters, they called them?
Yeah.
That would be...
Those were going to be better, though.
They definitely were.
Those were pretty
good.
Speaking of which, there's a new DVD.
Yes, the best of Clash of the Champions.
I know. Look up and let's see the matches. Let's see what they're giving us here, because that looks like a tremendous DVD.
We saw the commercial on the pay-per-view, because that's what you do, is have commercials on the pay-per-views.
Yeah, we love that.
But it's...
There you go, WWE Clash of Champions DVD. The best of Clash of Champions. I don't know if it's going to have some sort of documentary.
Well, that's
not.
What I was wondering.
Predicts just matches, essentially, and people talking about those matches and talking about whatever. But let's see what we got on here. Oh, disc one, the real story.
And you got
the great Nature Boy Ric Flair versus Sting match from Clash. That's awesome.
Anderson and Blanchard against Luger and Wyndham.
Fantastic.
From that same Clash.
Why wait a whole year?
Yeah, so then June of 88, Arn and Tully against Sting and Dusty. Well, this is the first Clash here, and then this is Clash 2. So they're going in order of the Clash of the Champions. Ricky Morton against Ivan Koloff.
Interesting choice.
Russian chain match.
Interesting.
Yeah, I Quit. Terra Funk against the Nature Boy.
Ric Flair, yeah. That should be on every DVD because it was so awesome.
Mil Máscaras.
When you do the Punk CM Punk DVD that's coming up, they should have Terry Funk versus Ric Flair I Quit match from Clash Champions on it. Because that's how great that match was.
Yeah.
It should be on every DVD.
Every DVD. Mil Máscaras against Cactus Jack.
Interesting. I hope Cactus Jack gives us some commentary on that one.
T-Plunge.
There you go.
Midnight Express against the Rock and Roll Express.
Fucking A.
From 1990. To be the man, you got to beat the man. We get Nature Boy against Lex Luger.
Watch him perform Ric Flair, perform a miracle, have a great match with Lex Luger.
Yes. The Young Pistols and the Z-Man, Tom Zink, against the Fabulous Freebirds.
I remember that. That was great.
Yeah. A 15-man battle royal.
Well, it'll be a battle royal. That'll be better than what we saw tonight.
Do you think so?
Yes.
Yes. I believe... PN News is in this battle royal.
Well, I remember this next match, though.
Sting against Ravishing Rick Rude.
The late, great Ravishing Rick Rude.
For the U.S. Championship from 1991. Two out of three falls. Nature Boy, and Arn Anderson against the Hollywood Blondes.
Tremendous
match. I remember
match.
That was great
match. Tremendous. It's a great match, and of course, great how they
and
the Blondes, of course, took the piss out of the Horsemen.
Yes. And this is about the time where we got TBS here in Calgary and was
yep.
able to start to watch this stuff. Brian Pillman against Stunning Steve.
Yep.
William Rears, Lord Steven Regal against Dustin Rhodes.
Interesting.
Sting and Flair against Rude and Vader.
I remember that one.
Elimination match.
Yeah.
Then Sting and Ric Flair. And the unification match before Hogan come in.
That's right.
Right?
That's
this
right.
was right before Hogan had come in. And then Steve Austin against Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
That's awesome.
Awesome match. I think that was just on a vintage not too long ago I watched.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hogan and Savage against Ric Flair and the Giant.
Terrific.
Wow.
This next match is a real sleeper. It's actually a tremendous match. Medusa versus Bull Nakano.
It was a million-dollar dream, wasn't it?
It was a wicked match.
You said it was a sleeper.
It was a sleeper. My mistake.
The match for the Battle Bowl ring.
This was awesome.
Yes, this was great. Eddie Guerrero against Diamond Dallas Page.
D. Self. High five.
Yeah, that guy.
Bonus matches. Triple threat match. Harlem Heat versus Steiner Brothers versus Sting and Luger. That was really good.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Ultimo Dragon against Dean Malenko. That has to be great.
Yeah, I don't remember, but it's going to be great.
Yeah, Jericho and Eddie.
Going to be great.
DDP and Lex Luger against Scott Hall and Macho Man.
There you go.
That's not going to be great. On the Blu-ray.
That'd probably be fucking awesome.
On the Blu-ray. Blu-ray extras give you the Nature Boy and Barry Windham against the Midnight Express from 1988. Which, who would be the baby faces there?
Probably the Express. I don't know, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not sure. That's great, though.
Sting and Ricky Steamboat.
But that would have been when Windham was in the Horsemen with them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sting and Ricky Steamboat against Rick Rude and Steve Austin.
Tremendous.
Then the Thunderdome cage match. Dustin Sting and Sting versus Vader, Paul Orndorff, and Barry Windham. Yes, it was a handicap. I believe Brian Pillman was injured.
Yeah.
On it, but...
But if Vader and Paul Orndorff decide to fight each other, then it evens it up, right?
That's true.
In real life,
this was,
too. Paul Orndorff beat the shit out of Vader.
This was the match where Paul Orndorff come to the ring in his flip-flops.
Anyways, that's going to be an awesome DVD.
That is going to be a fucking awesome DVD. What's going to be also awesome for me to watch, I'm going to start to watch NXT.
Yeah, you're way more excited about this than me, but go ahead.
I'm not necessarily excited.
Well, you're way more excited than me, though, because
yes,
I'm not excited
true.
At all.
You're not excited at all, but I'm They've just taped
season 5 of
season
NXT
5 has ended
after 4.5 seasons.
After 4.5 years, season 5 of NXT has
finally fucking ended.
We wish it all the best in its future endeavors. But we're on to season 6. A new look. Season 6. It's taped in a spot just in Orlando, in a college campus. Dusty Rhodes.
GM.
The new general manager of NXT.
Lord Steven Regal, I believe, was GM.
He was, yes.
Yeah.
It's basically a combination of developmental of Florida Championship Wrestling and some of the lower level guys, the McGillicuddies, the Rex and Hawkins, the Yoshitatsus, the Tyson Kids there. So, largely... Largely the same. It just the format of it is seems more superstars, like old school WWF superstars.
There's two things that made you excited, though.
Well, yes.
A few things that made you excited. Number one, the fact that has Dusty. He's the GM.
Dusty, baby, the GM, the bull of the woods, if you will, and good old JR.
Yeah.
The commentator. This is a Triple H call.
Yeah.
Triple H has said, I want JR to do this.
Triple H is essentially, this is his show, right?
This is Triple H's project. This is his show, yes. He's been given the green light to go ahead and do this, and this is his sort of developmental idea, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Aren't they moving developmental to Connecticut?
Oh, I don't know who told you that. But I, Regal, William Regal, and JR were calling the action for some of it.
So a friend of Triple H.
Yeah.
And Triple H is, well, a man Triple H will acknowledge is the greatest announcer.
Yeah. Well, and I think that JR, though, I think it's from the sounds of from the reports that I was reading, he does rotate a bit with some other commentators. There's a guy named, of all people, Chris Russo down there. There's a commentator. I believe he does, takes a turn with him, takes a turn with Byron Saxton as well. So it seems like a rotation. So who I don't know what the finished product is going to look like. But
seems to me you don't use JR in that role. And if you're going to use JR, you use JR. If you're going to, you know, why waste them on something that 12 people are going to watch?
Well, that's just it. I don't, because again, because it's a Hunter call.
But that's the thing, is that's where I'm going. This is Hunter. He's experimenting. He's trying to figure out how to do things, how to put TV together, how to book from a different end, maybe. It just feels to me like this is Triple H screwing around with things so he can figure something else out.
Yeah.
More than, you know, anything else.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound to me like there's a huge difference between this as far as on-air products and NXT is what it was, except for better announcing.
Well, the thing with NXT, is, and I know when, no one really started to watch, and I didn't really watch it either, but NXT became...
We get it.
We do get it on the score here, but and I see commercials for it on the score. It's more soap opera-y. It became this Derek Bateman love triangle thing, I don't even know, with Maxine and they were getting married. It became that, whereas this format sounds like, said like old school superstars with the squash matches with guys just getting to work but getting their moves over and just having people become familiar with who they are.
Isn't it taping? It's taping in the same city as Impact. Is it taping head to head in the same night?
I don't think so. Well, it's funny you mentioned that. Let's go there. TNA, starting May 31st, is going live on Thursdays.
Yeah,
live to
no
tape.
No difference.
Well, they're going live to tape.
Yeah.
Either a couple hours earlier before it airs. They're not going live from what I understand. But
makes no difference.
No, it shouldn't make any difference at all. This is just, again, the ratings are going down on it, and this is just the way we got to go live.
Ratings are going down. Vince Russo's fucking laughing.
Well, but it's, we got to go live.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the, and the shows are better, though. But that's really what...
Shows aren't consistently better. Shows are better occasionally.
Yes, that's true. But better is better. I mean, it's they're not any when they're not better, they're not worse.
Okay.
So I mean,
but they have a great. They'll have a better show, a good show. That doesn't mean it's not the same quality every week where you're going. That was really good. It's not like Raw in 1997. You know where you're going. 1996 Raw was sometimes good, sometimes not. Now it's good every single week.
Right.
We're not
there yet. No.
No.
No, that's right. But you know what's going to get it there though. Is
going live?
No. I mean, but that's just it. Going live to me is just one of those. Again, they have to bring people in now. Every Thursday is when they tape, so they're going to have to bring people in to fly them in. You know, instead of right now where they would fly people in for the pay per view and then they would tape right after the event. The next night and the night after, probably usually the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, they're all in Orlando taping the show. So everybody's just coming in once a month. And so you've got that expense. Now the extra expense is the fact that every Thursday you're going to have to be bringing people in, flying in talent. So you've gone from really putting people up for and taping TV for, you know, what seemingly is the whole month in about a three-day span, you're going to be going just, we're going to go this week, and then we're going to bring you all back next week, and then we're going to bring you all back next week. So really we're talking five, sometimes six times where we've got to get people paying to get to come in versus, you know, the three times before. So that's going to be an extra expense. But the way that I see this is that desperation, like I said, brother, we got to go live. Brother, it's what we need, brother. And so, you know, Dixie, who's an idiot, is going to acquiesce to this.
Well, absolutely. You know what? You have Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan have been giving us, for a long time, we know that they thought that you have to be live. You know, they thought this when they moved your Monday. It had to be live. It had to be Mondays. Well, they still think they can admit that the Mondays didn't work. They can't admit that the live didn't work. And, yes, it's added expense. It's not only added expense, though. I mean, some of the performers, like Rob Van Dam, for instance, RVD, what does he love? He loves the idea that he gets to show up, do 3 days, and he's off for the month and maybe do a few house shows. The idea that he's going to have to make that travel every week, and you make that travel out there, you stay the night, you do, it's more than just 1 day. It's a 3-4 day thing, and then you add that into a few house shows. A guy like Rob Van Dam, for instance, I don't think will like this new schedule. I think a lot of the older guys necessarily won't like this new schedule who aren't desperate for money. I can see Rob Van Dam leaving the company shortly after this.
An older wrestler that's not desperate for money, you say?
Rob Van Dam wouldn't be. He's one of them.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he'll make this. But, you know, I mean, not everybody's going to be pissed off with it. But a guy like RVD, I this is not what he's looking for.
No, that's right.
You know.
And, I mean, and the fact that, I mean, how much have they used them anyway? And that's some of the things, too, with these contracts that have limited dates, right? You know, you're going to be using them more and more.
Yeah.
There. So.
Yeah.
But
it's you know, I'm not saying it's a move that necessarily blows up in their face. It's just I look at it and I go, if you're going to add expenses, what's going to do more for you?
Right.
Going live every single week or taking it on the road every single week?
Yeah.
What's going to add more expenses and more ratings? I go taking it on the road every single week.
You know what I mean?
I think that's bigger. I think, especially since live in front of that crowd has a you know, on these pay-per-views lately,
yeah,
not being very good, right?
What I do is a major talent acquisition.
Oh, yeah?
I hire Brooke Hogan.
Well, fucking right.
And I think that will just double. We're going to go to twos now.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, she did double her twos.
That's it, exactly.
She did have surgery there.
Hulk Hogan has got his daughter a job. As the who's starting the first live show. That's right, yes. Brooke Hogan is going to go live, folks. And she's basically taking the Karen Jarrett role of being head of the Knockouts.
Yeah, I would like to say, first off, Hulk Hogan, fuck you.
Brother.
Second off, I'm not watching TNA anyways. They had the chance to bring me back. They aren't doing it. They're not doing it. I don't need nepotism with Garrett. I already got Garrett Bischoff. I don't need fucking Brooke Hogan. What makes her...
Can I fuck Brooke Hogan then?
What makes her... You could. What makes her somebody that should be in charge of... What qualifications does she fucking have to be in the fucking charge of the fucking Knockouts?
Well, what did Karen Jarrett have?
She was wife of
Yes!
No, wait. She was wife... both on stage and off, of Jeff Jarrett.
Yes.
But she had been on air for a long, long time and wasn't just given it. She had to worm her way into it, right? And it was the idea that she was a heel. She was a heel, and Jeff was a heel, and she got that job.
Right.
Whereas with Brooke, it's like she's a babyface, and Hogan's a babyface, and she gets that job, and it's complete nepotism. At least Karen was an established character that had something for her.
Yeah.
Brooke is not an established character, and it's obvious it's just because her singing career didn't take off, her TV career is gone, and she's Hulk Hogan's son, and he's gonna, or daughter, and he's going to keep her off fucking TV.
Yeah.
It's the same idea we have Ashley Flair fucking being trained in OVW, and when she comes out, she's going to be fucking Knockout champion here now. So,
Divas
fuck you.
Champion.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, she's got to win it the first time and lose it, because, I mean, eventually, isn't she going to be a 16-time... Divas champion?
Yeah.
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 So, so that's true, eh? And we got both Hogan and Flair's daughters.
Employed by TNA.
Huh? No.
Yeah.
Well, no, Ashley's hired by WWE.
I thought she was hired and went to OVW.
No.
In TNA.
No, she's been hired by WWE.
Well, whatever, it doesn't matter, fuck them.
You don't motherfucking need them?
No, I don't.
No, she didn't go to Ohio Valley. She was training with Lodi.
Oh.
So she'll hold
Low-key
sign.
Or Lodi?
Lodi. Oh. So the better of the two workers.
you sign. Wish.
She'll hold signs.
Yeah.
Is what she gets to do.
Yeah.
So that'll be
I'm holding up a sign right now. She can sit on that and rotate.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
But, well, we want to talk about, we're talking about family.
Fuck Brooke Hogan on top of it.
I will. Talking about.
That means Brooke Testmacher can no longer be Brooke Testmacher, by the way. It's going to have to go back to being Brooke, or go back to being.
Shane Testmacher.
Yes.
Yes.
That would actually rule.
That would.
If they fucking came up, they're not clever enough to come up with that.
That's true. Let's talk about the relatives of prominent wrestling personalities. The Republican nomination for the Senate of Connecticut is Linda McMahon.
Should we get her on next week again?
We should, actually. Now
we're going to have Linda McMahon back
news.
On.
We will have
next
Linda
week.
McMahon.
That's to make that note of that.
Yes.
And get Linda on and interview her. Yeah, I mean, we saw this coming. She is not the nominee, yes, just so you know.
No.
She did win she got some sort of big endorsement, essentially at a convention, I believe.
Yeah.
But the guy who finished number two is planning to still run against her.
He got enough of the vote. I think you have to get about 15% of the vote or something, and he got 22% or something.
Yeah, and then the guy who finished third place is trying to get write-ins to get at it as well, to compete against her. So she's going to have to still beat one to two other people to actually become the nominee.
But it
sounds like. And then
like
run for actual Senate. But, I mean, this is a big step for her compared to where she was last time.
Yeah, that's right.
You know.
So,
I mean, it's hard to believe. I don't know what spin control she's done, but, and I'm not sure how much money she's willing to spend this time compared to last time. I don't know what's different about the company that this time that her past didn't haunt her as much, but,
yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe she just, people see her, she's not a dynamic talker, but, maybe they see her as having the right core values for a Republican in that area.
Yeah.
I think that's probably true.
Yeah, that probably is true, actually.
That's probably really what it is. So.
Yeah, I know that, but and again, and nobody has died young recently.
But we do have somebody on who wants to come on, though, who wants to promote her new movie. She's coming on right now, though. She's had a few health issues, but she's going to come on right now. She's going to talk about it. She's in the brand new episode of Avengers XXX.
Right.
She's
the She-Hulk.
She's the She-Hulk. And we're going to have her on right now and give her a call.
Yeah.
And, hello? Hey, China, how are you? China?
Miss Lauer?
Hello?
Oh.
What was that?
I don't know. I think we lost.
Are you there, China?
I think we lost China.
Oh, dude, should we, call the ambulance or something like that? Send them to her physical location or?
No.
China. Fuck her.
No.
somebody yeah. did, and they had to be paid to do it.
And they did have to be paid to do it. Oh, there's X-Pac too. But, no, it's, basically, China, we talk about nobody dying, China clapped three times now.
Four now.
Oh, we have to four.
She's now
clapped. Oh, well, four. Yeah, we just had four.
We just had our fourth clap.
Fourth clap.
Live on the air here on We Talk Wrestling.
Jeez.
So four times she has clapped now over the last 48 hours.
But
One time in a pool where she took off her clothes, jumped in naked.
Oh, good.
At a party.
That sounds normal.
One time in a hotel room or something like that at a convention.
Yeah.
And one other time. And now this time
and
on the phone.
And then one time just on the floor.
Yeah.
And then on the floor. But yeah, I did see a picture where she was looking pretty rough there. So.
China?
I know, right?
Get the fuck out of here.
No, things are not looking good for China.
Yeah, you got her in the death pool, so I'm jealous.
I do. So it's
maybe. Remember, when you texted me her as your pick,
mm-hmm.
I was so upset. I'm like,
I know.
Fuck, how did I miss? Like, she was like, we were like 50 people in when we came up with her.
I know, right? I know.
No, seriously, I mean, you have to worry about the woman. She,
no, you don't.
She, well, no, you don't. But no, she is a mess. It's frightening. Yeah. She's not somebody who's extremely intelligent to begin with.
No.
Or talented. Now she's talented. she's doing porn, and she just seems to be spiraling. I don't know, her, Scott Hall, both. I'm not sure which one I'm worried about more. So,
who do you think will, if you have the three, though, who do you think will die first? Scott Hall, Chyna, or Rey Mysterio?
Why Rey Mysterio?
Because he's doing all the same shit that Eddie's doing, and will probably die of an enlarged heart in the next 5 years, I
imagine. Yeah, well, one thing you can say, he's doing all the stuff that Eddie's doing. Well, yeah, he's doing steroids, you're right.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't think he's ever had the car accident.
Well, yeah, but when they tell him whatever it was 15 years ago to jump off a fucking curb, right?
And he's still doing his
move. He's still doing his stuff. That's a car accident.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. But, yeah, they've been lucky for a long time, but something's going to happen, and it probably will affect Ms. McMahon's her Senate run. So,
well, that's
for
just
Linda.
It, right? Yeah. So, we talked about the Clash of the Champions Blu-ray DVD that we saw the commercial for there, ran down the matches. Another one that's on the docket that they're coming out with, a Falls Count Anywhere DVD. This is going to be a 3-disc set.
Get the fuck out of here.
Falls Count Anywhere matches. I am not shitting you.
They're running out of ideas. This is funny because, you know what, next week, let's each of us come up with 5 fresh ideas for DVDs.
Okay.
And present them. Or we can do it on a share blog. Whatever you want to do, or we can do it on the air. But just to show that these guys who are running out of ideas don't have to.
No, I know. Like, there is no Coco Beware DVD yet.
I could probably take it over Falls Count Anywhere. Certainly have an interesting documentary.
You know what I would do,
I'm
though?
Trying to think of what are the greatest Falls Count Anywhere matches. And the first one that comes to mind of, obviously, Mankind versus The Rock. The halftime show at
Halftime Heat, the empty arena match?
Yeah. Hilarious.
Yes, yeah, that was, yeah.
Because it's so damn funny. He's hitting him with fucking bags of popcorn he's selling.
Oh, yeah, but I
it's funny, but it's not good. It's just funny good.
Yeah. I can't think of too many Falls Count Anywhere matches.
Even ones you can think of, they're not generally that great.
No.
I mean, a bunch of, unless you count a lot of the...
Hardcore matches.
Yeah, I was going to say the hardcore matches.
The Mississippi
matches.
River and stuff, right?
Yeah.
But WWE come up with that DVD called Hardcore.
Yeah.
Already, right? In whatever, 2000 or whatever. So, I mean, I don't know. To me, what I would do is, I would do the Hall of Fame series then.
Yeah.
And you just, every 6 months, you put out a new Hall of Fame.
And if you want to do it, you want to have a 1-disc set for Falls Count Anywhere, 2-disc even.
Yeah.
The 3-disc, I mean...
Well, it seems like you're putting every Falls Count Anywhere match that's ever happened on.
Yeah.
You know, it just...
Like I say, people will fondly remember ladder matches, even cage matches.
Yeah.
Nobody's fondly remembering, Randy Savage versus Crush from WrestleMania 10.
Oh, God.
You know?
That was awful.
Exactly.
That was fucking awful.
Yeah.
You had to have 60 seconds to get back into the ring after you were pinned?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'd rather have a stretchers match. Or ambulance match DVD.
Kane and John Cena.
Yeah.
And the Fat Chick Thriller.
The Fat Chick Thriller.
But no, you're right. I mean, I'm not even thinking of too many good... I mean, and I'm sure there's good ones, but just the Falls Count Anywhere. I mean, I guess there's... there
it's
was on...
throwaway step.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, remember the Cactus Jack against Hunter from Raw, that Raw that we talked about with Pillman and Owen. That same Raw.
That's true, yeah.
That they did,
did they have one with Funk versus Cactus Jack as well?
Oh, Funk and Foley. It was Foley, and it was on Raw.
Yeah.
And Steve Austin was the commentator.
Yeah.
With JR. That was actually one of the best.
That was actually one of the best
matches on Raw ever, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. That was an excellent match.
That was an excellent match. So that definitely makes the list of... I can't even think. Like, I mean, Bret Hart never really, and Shawn Michaels, you know, back like in the 90s, they didn't do anything.
Wasn't the one Big Show versus Shane Helms? I feel like Shane Helms was in a Falls Count Anywhere, where he jumped off the top of that fucking huge structure and
Shane McMahon.
Shane McMahon, what did I say?
Shane Helms.
I wonder how I made that mistake. Maybe they don't have to have both of those names together.
What's up with that?
So yeah, but Shane McMahon, was that a false count anywhere?
When he jumped off the probably. Jumped off the Titantron there,
So I mean, I'm sure there's a few and it might be pretty good, but if you're stretching this hard.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Now, if I'm going to say to you, best ladder matches, make a three-disc set, you and I are just going to start running off.
Oh, exactly.
Names of matches.
Cage matches.
Same thing,
right? False count anywhere. No, and
even, even First Blood or Last Man Standing, I could tell you a bunch more Last Man Standing matches that I thought were really good than this.
When I heard that, I thought, what the fuck are they thinking? But, we'll do that next week, maybe. We'll talk about the thing. But as I said, I would go... I mean, a lot of the Hall of Famers already have DVDs out. You know, he does. Roddy Piper has a DVD, too. Isn't it called Born to Controversy or something?
Yes, it was, yeah.
So, it seems like almost...
But, I mean, something like the... Blackjacks, right?
Yeah, I'd rather watch Falls Count anyway.
I'm just saying that there are guys out there. There's a lot of the
James
old
Dudley
guys.
Doesn't have a DVD.
No, he doesn't.
No. It's called Driving Miss Daisy. There could be some. I mean, I would watch but they did such a shitty job with the Bobby Heenan one that, But a Lou Albano one would be
tremendous.
You know, a DVD to watch. Even a Junkyard Dog one would actually be very
interesting.
Be interesting with
Paul Orndorff,
the Bill Watts footage. Yeah, Paul Orndorff.
Iron Sheik.
Sheiky. No, I mean it would be, but for the wrong reasons. I mean they had that Stars of the 80s thing, right?
Yeah.
And he had his part in that.
Yeah.
You know what would be...
But, I mean, no, because if you look at Sheik in the 70s as a skinny, baby-faced, amateur wrestler-style guy, and then look at the Sheik that we got to know in the 80s, that transition, and that's kind of interesting.
That would be interesting. Actually, you know, one of the things that would be interesting that would not at all be, it would be popular. It wouldn't sell. But I would be interested in a Nikolai Volkoff match.
You could even do one of the him and Sheik together, right?
Well, just Volkoff having the. He was
around forever.
For one of the Mongols, down in the 50s, just kind of thing that would be very interesting. You know, they've already done a superstar Billy Graham.
Have they done a Ted DiBiase one?
No, that would be a good one, too, yeah. Ted DiBiase definitely would be a good one to have.
Yeah.
They've done it, he's not a Hall of Famer, but they've done it Jake Roberts. They've done a Mr. Perfect.
Have they done one for Hacksaw?
No, they haven't done one for Hacksaw.
They haven't done one for Honky Tonk?
No.
They haven't done one for Kazarni?
Who? What did you tell me the other day? Oh, you said for podcast, you said I could get us. I might be able to get us an interview with Nick Ring, and I said, "Why was Kazarni busy?" I mean, they've done the Road Warriors. They've done things like that. So it would be that would be my. I mean, right there. I mean, it would be
the Briscoes.
The Briscoes. I mean, superstar profiles is really what I'm. Yeah, what I'd be looking at, right?
Sure, that's a good way to go. That's one direction to go for sure that they could do.
Yeah, but
so what else you got on your list here?
Bobby Roode. We talked about this a little bit. He's now the longest reigning champion in wrestling at about 220 days.
He can't have had it that much longer than CM Punk. CM Punk probably got the title somewhere pretty damn close to the same time.
That's probably right. Yeah, you probably are right because it's October, right? So, So it would have been.
Either way, I mean, they need to make a big deal of this and keep it going, which is tough, I suppose, if they say the ratings are going down. But
They do.
Well, but
yeah, they do definitely need to. I mean, to me, if you lose it at Bound for Glory,
yeah,
you know, that would
against James Storm.
I guess I just if that,
that's the one that's logical, right?
Well, it is. It's just
it
a matter
builds up in the right way. Storm cuts the promo.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone a little bit now.
Yeah, so
you
I
know,
mean, and
he has his one chance. He disappoints his daughter.
Yeah,
he doesn't get it.
It just
logical.
Seems like such a long time away for them. You know what I mean? To build, because
yeah,
that
shows though that's a fault of current wrestling that seems so long away to build.
Oh, that, I agree. I just mean for them.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to pull it off, for lack of a better word, right?
One thing they are better at is long-term planning than WWE. It's, you know, the execution month to month and show to show can be shit.
Yeah.
The long-term ideas and planning, though, is they're better at sticking to that.
Yeah. Sacrifice was apparently a great show.
Yeah. And we said when we were running it down, we're like, this looks like a pretty good card. It's too bad we can't care.
Yeah, exactly.
It was
so,
pretty much exactly what we said.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that looks good, that looks good, that looks good. This looks like it'll be pretty good.
Yeah, and it was. So,
yeah.
It seems to be kind of critically acclaimed anyway for what...
But, you know, you need to have a lot of critically acclaimed things in a row regularly. You need to become a... To get a buzz going, you need to be good. You can't have any blips.
Yeah.
They need to be good for months on end.
But to get a buzz going, you could also get some spliffs.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that's essentially is my list outside of, we'd asked last week for people to email me their Randy Savage memories, because I was actually, again, I was off by a day. I thought it was the 19th, but it turns out it's today, the 20th.
Yeah, you screwed me up. I put that on Twitter, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I was listening to you.
Yeah.
Fucker.
Ha.
Made me look
stupid. Then there was some good to come out of it.
Yeah.
But really, not good. Macho Man Randy Savage died 1 year ago today, May 20th. So, again, we'd ask people to email memories. A lot of it, WrestleMania 3. You know, people are remembering... the great match, WrestleMania 3. We got the retirement match with the Ultimate Warrior. We got an email just talking about both the retirement match itself and then the post with Elizabeth.
Yes.
You know, just kind of a... The
you remember the one guy, Pud Light, who emailed? Pud Light, he emailed, he kept on talking about... His Randy Savage memories are simply the intensity of Randy Savage and everything he did. That he just, every time he thinks of Randy Savage, he thinks of those crazy eyes.
The
and
crazy
that look,
eyes, yeah.
And that intensity and that look like he's going to kick ass and he's there to do business. And like he was real, even though he was a cartoon character in a cartoon world, he felt real, more real than wrestling feels today to him, was what Pud Light said.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of interesting, interesting take. I think there's something to that.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I mean, those eyes. I mean, and the tongue that he used to do, you know.
Yeah.
And no, I think that the film
it was all in black and white in WCW.
Mm-hmm.
The eyes still made him stand out as a character.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Even though everybody was wearing black and white.
Yeah. The fellow that emailed about the WrestleMania 7 with Savage and Warrior had said, you know, it probably was the best sports entertainment ever, in that you had the sport of the match and then the entertainment of the angle afterwards with Elizabeth, that it was sort of the epitome there. Didn't get a lot on WCW. You know, the DDP.
No.
One fellow just mentioned the DDP feud that really put DDP on the map.
Yeah.
You know, it established him. But most of it, as I said, was Ricky Steamboat's. Baltimore Warrior. A little bit of Jake Roberts.
There was one guy who emailed about the Mania 8 when winning the title for the second time, that was the first time he actually saw a title change.
Yes.
Yeah, you remember that guy? He said, yeah, this is the first time he ever saw a title change. He had just started watching wrestling, so that really stood out to him because he had never seen one
before.
And that felt like a really big deal, which is really, really hilarious to hear.
Yeah.
Because we hear tonight, they're sitting there in the four-way match, and it's like, Chris Jericho coming to the ring, 7-time world champion.
Yeah.
Randy Orton coming to the ring, 9-time world champion. Sheamus, 3-time world champion. And he's just like, ADR, 2-time world champion.
Yeah.
But the, you know, he talked about that, how just how for him it was like, wow, a world title change. I've never seen one. He'd only been watching wrestling for a couple months. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but lots of great memories. So I do thank everybody for taking the time to email those in. You know, the week.
It was actually too many to actually read them all individually on there.
Word for
so
word.
So just kind of give you a little bit.
The highlights, the kind of
categories. Thank you for remembering Randy Savage with
Randy Savage. The week, the week doesn't get any easier because we're 3 days away. Of course, May 23rd, 1999, the fall in Kemper Arena.
Yeah.
With Owen Hart. So May, not a kind month.
No.
To wrestling fans here. So just to be within a three-day span as
well.
Yeah,
just a few days span.
You know, Jesus.
So but May 19th would have been Joey Ramone's birthday, and I'm a big Ramones fan. And I lament the loss of him as well, so for me personally. So, yeah, May is not, May's not the best. Yeah,
they threw the toothpicks at people.
Joey Ramone? I don't think so.
No?
No.
He lost his house.
He lost his house? Yeah.
Whoa.
Anyways, lightening up a little there towards the end. Other than that, I think we're OUT. Hopefully we'll hear from everybody, some more blogs and everything like that coming up soon, too.
Yeah, we're going to get some more writings out.
I do want to give a special shout-out to Jason McDowell of We Want Wrestling. I congratulate him on the adoption of his daughter, his first child. So,
oh, wow, yeah.
Congratulations, Jason.
Congratulations.
He's agreed with me that he will never, ever allow his daughter to listen to We Talk Wrestling. That's a good choice.
Yes.
So, congratulations, Jason.
Yes, congratulations. Don't turn her into a cunt.
Don't let her emulate Dixie. O-U-T.
O-U-T. Just throw the last bit of plugs in here. WeTalkWrestling.com. Is the
We're
website.
Talking about your mom?
A
little bit of the last-minute plugs?
Cunt. WeTalkWrestling.com. That's where you can find the show. You can find all the blogs, the information there. At WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling is our official Facebook page. So you can go on and like us. And email, I guess, me is best way to get a hold of us is addie@wetalkwrestling.com. So
yeah,
I think that's all of it's all the plug-in.
That's all. Well, there's also Mo at We Talk Podcast.
Plug-in and a plug-in.
And Mo _WeTalk, you know, part of the WeTalk podcast family.
Yes.
And as I say, congratulations, my friend Jason, and everybody, and him, and everybody else out there. When you visit us, you hit our blogs, you hit our whatever, hit that tweet button, hit that Facebook like button, share us a little bit. If that's all you do, take 2 seconds, we really appreciate that.
That's right. We do. But, okay, well, that's going to do it then. So, I guess we're off like a Jewish foreskin.
You thought you'd be able to get out on that without laughing?
I did. Sorry.
I didn't. You broke first.
I did. That's rare. But, all right. Well, in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.